Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to The Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 388 of The Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis here with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like, you know, Halloween's right around the corner, and I feel like this is what kicks off the official holiday season, sort of, and it sort of accelerates from here. It's like we're at the top of the hill and we're going to start rolling down, picking up speed. Is that the right?
No, I was picturing those cartoonish like snowballs that get bigger and bigger. Yeah. And it's funny. I do think we end up with an episode like this almost every year where it's some kind of like a pep talk or like a zoomed out reminder as we head into all of the holiday hoopla. And so I'm excited about this. This is going to be a fun episode.
I agree. And I think what I really love about this is that it's not really holiday specific. And even if like you don't do Halloween, you don't care about Thanksgiving, and maybe you don't do the winter holidays, like you will find something to identify with here because it's kind of a universal mom experience where when your kids are really little, maybe you're able to hang on to the idea that you can still, I don't know, control the way the holidays run, especially, but like kind of even better than that. Not only can you still control it, but now you have a kid to do it for.
Yeah. It's a very powerful feeling to feel like you can shape a child's experience. And you're right. We are going to use the holidays as a framework, but you could say that about taking your child to like on a hike for the first time or exposing them to certain music or movies. It's like, we get this real rush. It was very fun for me in those years to feel like I really had a lot of influence or like positive power in a positive way to shape and create experiences for my children. And then what happens?
Well, then they get older and they have an opinion and then they're able to like express their opinion in words, and peer pressure kind of comes in, both on the parent side and on the kid side. So that you almost have like separate but equal parenting peer pressure and then kid peer pressure sort of colliding in those school years. And it just creates kind of this mishmash of like what mom wants, what the kids want, who's going to win this battle, or is it going to become a battle? And now I'm kind of like, I crested. I went to the bottom of the valley and came back up that hill. And now I've kind of crested that with my kids, and I'm getting to reclaim big parts of the holidays for myself now, in a way I really hadn't been able to for a long time. And there's some great things about that and some, honestly, some loneliness in that too. Sure. So it's all like a big, it's just a big mess.
Well, and I think when we were talking about this in real time, we talked about this idea when we were in Dallas together. And I think it was you who said it's like a bell curve. So it's like you have kind of all of the say-so in terms of shaping the holidays for your family. And then it dips. I don't know if this bell curve is going down or up. I guess you could, depending on how our axes are labeled, it could go either way. But there is a steep decline or incline where you are rapidly losing that power and influence and control and say-so, where really the kids are dominating. And then, like you said, that you crest on the other side is now you reclaiming this for yourself. So I agree. I think this is true outside of the holidays, but it's fun to use this sort of Halloween entry point to talk about the bell curve. And that is the structure we're going to use today. So we're going to share kind of our memories and experiences of the ways we really took a lot of pride in shaping our kids' holiday experiences in certain ways when they were tiny, and then the ways when it got away from us. And I think I'm in the thick of that right now with kids 14, 12, and 9 who have ideas, their own plans, their own. It's like we're heading into Halloween week, and like this is not the Halloween I would design, put it that way. Right. And that's okay. Yes. And then you'll get to really share what it looks like on the other side of that.
Okay, well, let's take a break. And when we get back, we will jump into the early part of the bell curve. Oh my gosh, Sarah, the Gwen tall boot from our sponsor Vionic is definitely shaping up to be the MVP of my fall footwear collection. They're so warm, comfortable, and sturdy, and they hug my calves just the way tall boots should. The upper is water resistant, so I'm not afraid of a little rain, and the rubber soles are nice and grippy, and they look just great on. I have them in a black suede that looks really classy with jeans, but also dresses up leggings. Like, I don't know, I'm an English dressage horseback rider or something.
Okay, Megan, I love that look for you. And it's no surprise you love the way your new Vionic boots feel. Boots and booties should be comfort forward, but often the cute ones pinch, rub, or are kind of useless in inclement weather, which makes me scratch my head because, well, they're boots, right? But every pair of Vionic shoes is designed with VioMotion technology. So the arch is supportive, the heel cup really hugs your foot, and it's just such a pleasant experience wearing their shoes and boots.
Exactly. And with Vionic's 30-day risk-free trial, there's no reason not to try a pair. You can wear them for up to a month, including frolicking around outside in the rain, and return for a full refund within 30 days if you're not satisfied for any reason at all. Plus, we're going to get you free shipping on your Vionic order this fall. Just go to vionicshoes.com and use promo code THEMOMHOUR at checkout. That's VionicShoes.com and use promo code THEMOMHOUR at checkout to get free shipping.
We are welcoming back Code Wizards HQ as a sponsor today. Megan, this is the leading online coding school for kids and teens ages 8 to 18. They offer live online coding classes designed to give students the programming knowledge, skills, and confidence to thrive in a digital world. In fact, Code Wizards HQ was one of the very first live online coding schools for kids in the U.S.
Yeah, and their instructors are top-notch. They hire just 2% of those who apply. Code Wizards HQ's highly structured and comprehensive curriculum is delivered in small group, teacher-led, interactive classes where kids learn real-world coding languages like Python, Java, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript.
I love that Code Wizards HQ really prepares kids for what's actually happening in the digital world and shows them how all these various programming languages fit together in a kind of 360-degree way. They've also got a 4-lesson money-back guarantee, which means students can try courses risk-free. You know, if you have a kid who loves computers and technology and maybe just hasn't found their thing yet outside of school, this would be a great option to try, again, without a risk.
And we've got a great deal on top of that guarantee, Sarah. Listeners can save $20 off their first month's tuition with promo code MOMHOUR. Visit codewizardshq.com to enroll. That's codewizardshq.com and use promo code MOMHOUR for $20 off your first month's tuition. Okay, Sarah, so we touched on the fact that when the kids are small, there's a fair amount of mom taking the reins and making the holiday experience that, you know, that she wants or that she thinks the family should have, which are sometimes two very different things, right? But let's talk about what that looked like when, I don't know, it was like, all about the kids, but it was also really kind of about us, right? Yeah.
It might have appeared to the outside world that we were doing these things for the children. But I think if you're a newer mom, a lot of it comes from our own excitement of things we want to do or, yeah. So for sure, these were my glory years. These were the years where Sarah got to, I don't know, like, act out whatever fantasies I had of little family holiday traditions, and the kids had very little say. So some memories I have, I mean, outfits and dressing my babies for sure was a way that was like, it was like creative expression for me. I don't remember doing it for the gram, as the young people say, because actually social media was pretty new when I had my very first baby, and the like ever-present photo stream was not a thing, even though social media was around, but the expectation that you were constantly sharing photos was in its infancy. So I actually think that choosing outfits had nothing to do with social media peer pressure and everything to do with like a creative outlet for myself and all those baby clothes being so cute. And so this is not just for like the holiday card, although I definitely did that. I'm talking like Halloween costumes I would pick out and look forward to putting them on my kids, what they wore to Thanksgiving dinner, like styling the whole family for a holiday card photo. There was a onesie that all of my babies wore that's like, in retrospect, kind of corny, but I thought it was so clever at the time. And it said, "All mommy wants for Christmas is a silent night." Again, this is before memes. Like, this is before this
stuff. Your kid was a meme.
Yeah, it was. It was like, turn your baby into a meme. All three of my babies wore that. It felt like real life playing with baby dolls or dressing Barbies or whatever you did, American Girl, like whatever you did when you were a kid, where you just got to like think about the hair accessory and the shoes. And I just loved it. And I guess it seems, I don't know, it's kind of obvious or basic, but I think it was a way that I felt so festive and it was so fun for me. And spoiler alert, like eventually the kids did care what they wore and I had to give that up. Yeah. But that was really fun for me.
Okay, so I am going to ditto this with even the added context that my oldest kids were not only pre any social media, there were websites, but like not even when Jacob was born, there weren't even like blogs yet.
Yeah.
So this was, and there weren't digital cameras. So I don't even have photographic evidence of some of these outfits. Like if the pictures turned out great, some of them are lost to time. Some of them just were never photographed. So I totally agree with you that it was for me. It was it was because it was adorable and it felt also like, you know, you have this baby and every day is kind of the same for a while. Yeah, and now here's a special day that we get to, you know, dress them up and turn them into like a little work of art.
Yes.
I actually remember having I believe it was the One Step Ahead catalog, which does not exist anymore. We were just lamenting that not too long ago, but that was a big thing for a couple of decades at least. Very instrumental in early parenthood for me. And there was a Peapod costume in it, a baby Peapod costume for Halloween. And I always would forget to get it until it was sold out in the size of the baby that I had. And I never got to dress my baby as a Peapod. And you still would like to.
Aww.
I want to dress one of my adult kids as a Peapod.
I think that would be amazing. Please choose the largest one. Please choose William.
Like a 6'3" Peapod. It would be amazing. I'm going to ask him if he will do that. Actually, Clara is looking for a costume. We're recording this like, you know, a week ahead or so, and she's still looking for a costume. Maybe she would do it. But anyway, I do. And holidays, same thing. Like I had several babies right before Christmas. So like they would be in like snuggly little, I don't know, Santa suits or really cute. I remember there was like this little khaki outfit with a tuck-in shirt that
lovely.
I just thought
was on a newborn.
You know, they don't even bend their legs really. So, well, they're always kind of bent, but
they're all torso. It's like they don't.
And it's like, there's no waist, but I had these little plaid flannel lined khakis that the boys all wore. So here's what I will say about this. And I don't know if this was your experience or not. I kind of went all in on this stuff with the first two kids. Then I just kept repeating it until like I kept repeating the cute costume, the cute puppy dog costume that four of my kids wore. Like I just kind of ran out of steam on choosing new things every time and did a lot of repetition. And then it was just getting the new baby and the old thing.
Yeah.
Either for tradition's sake or laziness sake or because I already had it or whatever. I don't know. But like the experience of buying all the new and coming up with the new artistic expression was definitely like a first and second kid thing for me.
So I think for me, I did get a resurgence with the third kid. And that I do blame a little bit on the more ubiquitousness of social sharing. And like, I think clothes got really cute. So Violet was born in early 2013. And probably closer in age to a lot of our listeners' kids. And I just feel like I was a little more tuned into baby style and on trend myself. And so I actually think I had just as much fun the third time around. But yeah, I totally know what you mean. Remember Children's Place in the mall? Without everything.
That is kind where of those, like, I think that's where those khaki pants came from.
That actually would not surprise me because everything was like lightly coordinated. And so it was possible to just string together sibling coordination. It just was all so much fun. And I was thinking you only have, no matter if your baby's born in November or like January, they're only going to be an infant under one for one holiday season. And then maybe the next year it's like a young toddler. those first two holiday seasons are really where it is real life baby doll dressing. That's how I felt. And my first two babies are born in late spring. So they were actually that 6-7 months, which was like such a fun, because they were sitting up and the hats looked cute and
they were starting to get waists.
Yes. Yes. They had like bendable legs. Oh my goodness. And then, a toddler in a tiny romper or dress or suit or whatever. So fun. So yes, all of the mom control for the outfits from October through January.
And all the rest of the year too, but we're really leaned in extra, during that
extra.
extra.
Well, another way that I think really enjoyed taking a more heavy hand was when my kids were small, I sort of limited their exposure to like the type of 80s and 90s consumerism that I think a lot of us and our listeners probably grew up with, where you would get a catalog and you would see TV commercials for toys. And that was kind of what drove like everybody's holiday wish list, at least in my family and in my friend group. But with my kids, they were not watching network programming at all. They were watching like PBS Kids on the iPad if they watched anything. And then we didn't really do a lot of, they weren't watching a lot in general. And I was able to like chuck toy catalogs as they arrived. So when my kids were like, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, maybe 4. It's not that they had never been in the toy aisle of a Target. Of course they had on occasion. But we didn't go to the mall regularly. We didn't do a lot of like licensed character stuff, and they weren't watching commercials. That was the big one. So I had a lot of ability to kind of shape their holiday wish lists and control what kind of gifts and toys would eventually make it under the tree. And I liked that as a mom. I liked that, like, if we wanted to gift a dollhouse or a train set, I didn't have to deal with the fact that my kid like really wanted the Thomas version or the Barbie version, because they just hadn't been all that exposed to that. Again, if you're following along at home, you know all this is gonna change. Like, then my kids went to school and like figured out all of the amazing toys and video games and licensed character everything that exists. And in part two, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about letting go of all this control. But that was, I actually really liked that. I felt like I had a good handle on what kind of playthings were coming into our house.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you remember that for a long time, Clara didn't know that Target had a toy aisle?
Yes. Yeah, but remind me. Because you'd only taken her in and like gone in and out.
It was like a pure survival thing. It was just a time of my life when I was so busy with all the kids I had. You know, I had five kids at this point. And Clara was the youngest, and I finally got wise that like I had wasted so much of my life energy standing in the Target toy aisle with a kid who wasn't going to get anything and knew it, but still just couldn't let go. Or a kid who actually had been given a budget and couldn't choose. Like, both of those things were equally awful. And so I was like, well, what if Clara just never saw it? And so I told her the dollar aisle at the front was the toy aisle. And I would let her pick something out every time we went in, and she would be like thrilled. There weren't really even toys up there. It'd be like a little craft.
It's why she loves crafts. You turned her into an artist in the Target dollar section.
But that, like, I would love to say that was because I had some high, like, I don't know, you know, like some like values or something. And it was more just like, ugh, I cannot deal with this toy aisle for one more kid. So, it took her a really long time to figure it out. Okay, so it's kind of funny because my oldest, I almost have like three different experiences of having little kids because I have them so spread out and so many. So when Jake and Isaac were little, very similar, actually, they watched PBS almost exclusively and a little bit of Nick, because I think that's what had like Blue's Clues and stuff on it. But it was a lot of VHS tapes. We still had a VCR and then we got a DVD player, but like a lot of control over the media and not a lot of commercials on. As my older kids got older and younger kids came into the house, that changed for the younger kids. I wouldn't say I noticed the youngers desiring a ton more commercial or like licensed characters and stuff. I think they just knew more about what all was out there. Yeah, sure. And they would want weird things like made for TV. Seen on TV stuff like the chocolate fountain and like those kinds of things they would beg for. But it's kind of funny because I had like almost an opposite thing where I really wanted my kids to relive some of the nostalgic stuff from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So I would like very purposely make sure they had a toy catalog because I wanted to like leaf through a toy catalog with them. I wanted to go through the wish book. I wanted to relive that experience, or I wanted them to watch like, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, mm-hmm. or Charlie Brown Christmas. And just like the things I remembered from being a kid, which often was on commercial TV. Now, the funny thing is they only wanted to watch those things with me for like 2 years. And then they were over it because better cartoons came along, I guess. If you think anything's better than The Great Pumpkin, I don't know what's wrong with you. Something's wrong. But so it was like, I was like you were trying to like keep it at bay. Yeah. And I was literally trying to force it. Uh-huh. And I guess probably it backfired to some level for both of us, or it just didn't work out. You know, it was nice, but then at some point you have to kind of give up the ghost.
Well, that's the bell curve. Like either way, you're not going to have your way for long.
Yeah. I did want to briefly mention food. I think that's something that's really relevant at Halloween and Christmas in particular, that when my kids were really little, especially when my oldest kids were little, I could, you know, it was very easy to have them trick or treat all night and then have some of the candy disappear and they'd never even know.
Yeah.
Like they had no concept of how much had been collected. So they were just excited to have any.
Right.
So they had no concept of the fact that when they woke up the next day, most of it was gone, that they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And cookies and like making my own sugar-free versions of baked goods of Christmas and things like that. Like that I tried real hard at for about 3 years. And then I think that was over.
That was over. Similar to the food thing, when it came to like fun things on our schedule, I was laughing as we were like making these notes, like how many tree lightings and Santa sitting on and trunk or treats do my kids have no idea that they didn't go to when they were little? Like, I was just pretty intentional with our family calendar, and I was pretty big on their early bedtimes. And it's not that we didn't do anything, but there was a lovely amount of control I had in those early years about what we did and what we didn't do. And they were none the wiser because they weren't, I guess, like they weren't seeing the opportunities. It wasn't a flyer that came home in their folder or a thing their friend is going to, or I don't know. Right. How else do you find out about things? You see like a sign up at the store or a commercial on local TV. You have to know they're a thing. And I did very much enjoy, I guess, partaking of holiday fun to the degree that I wanted to. But I was a sleep deprived, like overwhelmed mom of really tiny kids. I didn't want to do all the things. I didn't want to go to the mall and have fake snow and hot cocoa and stand in a long line. And there was so much that I said no to, and my kids never knew that I said no to. And those were the glory years because, you know, they do figure that out eventually.
Well, and I think too, there's a way to, even if you're not, as I know that you and I can be skippers about mm-hmm. things sometimes for different reasons, but we both like to skip. We get like a perverse pleasure out of skipping fun sometimes. Mm-hmm. You can also just choose to do it in a really minor, small way. Like I remember taking my kids trick-or-treating for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To four houses
and they did it.
And they had no idea. Like they didn't know it was supposed to be a 2-hour procedure. Like all the fun was in putting on their costumes and walking out the door and saying hello to some neighbors and then call it a night.
Yeah.
So, I think there's lots of ways to like, engage with those traditions or those opportunities on a very micro scale that might feel more like where you're at as a mom this year.
Yeah.
You know, you had mentioned like really getting to kind of control the experience, and I have really, and this is kind of along the same lines, really more about the actual clock schedule. Mm-hmm. I remember when my kids were really little, and then again later when they were old enough to kind of want to do their own thing. It's getting back there now, but like we would just do things on the adult schedule. So we had Halloween parties that started that were really meant for adults, and the kids would start out the night, mm-hmm. you know, with us, and then they would just kind of go along for the ride until they went to bed.
Yeah.
And then we would continue adulting. And that kind of did fade out when the kids' lives and schedules and when their holiday wishes started to become more, I don't know, more the thing that had to take priority, I guess.
I think that's actually, I hadn't thought about this till you just said this, but one of the sort of shifts that happens when you're a brand new parent is that you're carrying in whatever kind of adult holiday traditions or things you usually do into your now kid life. And that's a curve of its own, I guess. Like, I feel like in the first couple of years, especially if you just have one baby and you wait a bit and that's your only baby for a while, you may be, like you said, trying to or wanting to continue to do quite a few of your adult traditions, either with baby in tow or lining up a sitter. And then there's something that happens as a peer group, as more and more people have kids, and as everyone adds like a second kid, it feels like quite a few of those adult traditions fall away, or you opt out for a few years, or they just shift and change. And I was lucky enough to feel mostly okay with that, because I think I enjoyed the things we were choosing to do as a family, as a young family. But I think if you're experiencing kind of like the bummer side of that, like you used to really love the office holiday party, but it's like not practical when you're breastfeeding or whatever, like whatever the thing is, I think it's also natural to feel kind of bummed about that you're not like, you're somehow missing out on holiday book club and all the things because now everybody's got kids. So that's like a whole side of a whole like transition that I didn't really even think about.
Well, it's interesting because when my kids, we were the first, and we had kids really young, and we were the first of anyone in any of our friend groups to have kids
in the world.
Right. And then we were also the first of my siblings and, you know, my ex's siblings to have kids, except for my sister, older sister, who did have kids. But I remember hanging out with people when like I was kind of like an experienced or becoming an experienced mom, and they either didn't have kids yet, or maybe were just about to, or had just had them. And then be like, oh, you guys, you know, you guys can still hang. You're still cool. Like, we're going to be just like that. And I thought, no, you won't.
Yeah.
Because you won't have to be, because by the time you have kids, everybody else will have kids. So everything will shift. We were almost like having to like pioneer, like blaze the trail and like slowly say, yeah, we do want to hang out, but can we move that up like an hour, or, you know, we can't get there until later because we got to get the kids down to bed or whatever. So it was kind of, it was kind of cute that everyone thought they were going to do parenthood and like fitting it around like that transition the same. And I thought, well, no, you will never have to, or you won't be able to, because by the time you have kids, no one will be doing this stuff anymore. And everyone will be going to bed at 8:30. So,
Oh my God. Okay. Well, it's so nice to think of the years when we had Megan so much influence over our children's holiday experiences and our own. But after the break, we're going to get into the middle of this bell curve. I don't know if you want to call it the top or the bottom, but that's where you lose. That's where you have to let go and let plastic skeletons invade your yard. And so
now, not surprisingly, I have a feeling you and I had a different experience of this, but
we'll
find out when we get back.
Okay. We'll be right back. We are welcoming back Athletic Greens as a sponsor today, Megan, and specifically their AG1 Daily Superfood Powder, which I use literally every day. And now Brian is on the AG1 train too. You know, the mornings have been dark lately, and even for a morning person like me, it's sometimes hard to get motivated. But knowing I'm starting my day with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients is huge. One scoop of AG1 includes a multivitamin, a multimineral, a probiotic, and a greens superfood blend. And then, of course, those vitamin D drops that come with every AG1 subscription are a must this time of year.
Oh, yes. I'm upping my vitamin D right now and absolutely can tell the difference when it gets low. Sarah, we are big fans of anything that both simplifies a mom's daily routine and helps her take better care of herself. And the developer of AG1 wanted to do just that. Simplify daily nutrition so that people didn't have to spend a ton of money and keep track of a dozen different supplements. At around $3 a day, Athletic Greens can be your one and only.
AG1 is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. And as a special offer for our listeners, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Visit athleticgreens.com/momhour today to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. That's athleticgreens.com/momhour for a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your purchase of AG1.
Hey, Sarah, before we get back to the episode, let's remind everyone about our special subscriber community on Instagram.
Yes, I am so excited about this, Megan, because for a long time, I've wished we could kind of interact a bit more with our listeners on Insta, and now there's a way. When you become a subscriber, you'll have access to members-only group chats that we'll host every once in a while. Plus, we'll do an episode live once a month that will only be available on that platform.
We'll also be sharing a bit more in stories from our personal lives and behind the scenes. And it's cool. It's all integrated into your regular Instagram experience. Subscribers just see some additional content just for them. And to be clear, nothing is changing about the content you get here in your podcast feed for free or on any of our social channels.
Right. So if you wanted, you could listen to about 700 hours of free podcast content before you even found our socials. But this is something new we're excited to try, and we'd love to see you there. You can join for a month or two and hop out again anytime. We will not be offended. We're just excited to connect more deeply with you all in a new way. All right, back to the episode. Okay, so let's dive in and talk about the years where the kids have their own ideas and their own plans and their friends at school who are talking about the things, and you sort of have to like just lean in. And it's not to say we let go completely or we don't still strive for some intentionality around our holiday, how our family does the holidays, but there is definitely a releasing of the reins. And so what comes up for you as you remember this? Because like you said in the beginning, you're actually now, even this phase is in the past for you, whereas I feel like I am very much in it.
So I feel like I was pretty fortunate that really all of my kids came of age before. And when I say came of age, I mean like school age, like where they started to notice what other kids were doing before social media took over quite as much. Even Clara, you know, she was born in 2009. I don't feel like most people, like, was Instagram even around until 2013, something like that. And most people really weren't on it then. I just feel like there's been a an explosion of the number of ways your kids can be influenced and the different routes by which they could be influenced. And mine had a significantly less. So I actually think I was pretty good at not bringing any rituals or traditions or routines or expectations into our holiday ever, really. And that's probably a too large of a statement, but I don't remember feeling the pressure that I think a lot of parents have now to do some things they don't want to do. That said, the thing that I think of when I think of the kids taking over is the decor. Yeah. Like, let's have a tale of two Halloweens, and then I'm going to do a tale of two Christmases because they're very okay. So, tale of two Halloweens, pre-kids, for me, a Halloween display would have been artful, restrained,
harvest a good, inspired.
Yes, but with a spooky element.
Oh, sure.
That was, you know, like Martha Stewart spooky, probably just really stolen out of the pages of
Edgar Allan Stewart Poe. Living.
Yeah, just like, yes, understated and tasteful, tastefully spooky. Then it became like those gel clings that stick in the windows and like spider web everywhere, like bit clumpy.
Yeah, because they want to do it.
Very good.
Right.
Yeah, kids aren't good at doing those. And like just gross things that I would never choose. A lot of mechanized things that groan and move and moan and squeal and hiss and like tacky, you know, I don't know. I didn't really ever get into inflatables, but I could see a world where that could have happened.
I think we are like one holiday season away. I'm not going to take over. I'm going to wait my turn, but we have front yard. We have a front yard situation both for Halloween and Christmas. And I don't think I can say anymore that we'll never do inflatables. I'm afraid of eating my own words.
So last year there was a house in our neighborhood that did inflatables for every single holiday. And they were like really over the top. Like their whole yard was full of Halloween inflatables, then Christmas inflatables. So it was like basically four straight months of inflatables. And the first few times the kids and I drove by, Owen and Clara made fun of it. Like, oh, that's a little extra and whatever these kids say. And then by like the third week, they're like, I don't know. I think maybe I might. So like they were being like acclimatized to it and becoming to where they wanted something they had thought was ridiculous mere weeks earlier. So I won't rule it out for you either. So So really that, and the kids always wanted weaponry. They wanted to go to Party City and get really expensive weaponry and then have it just, I guess, leaned around. I'm like, why do you want like a $40 cleaver with fake blood on it? They're like, I don't know. It's just really cool. So that was Halloween.
Wait, and pause. Then, I have a question. Did you, okay. when you were a newer mom, did you ever have a lofty ideal that play weapons would never make it into your
house?
I'm sure I did.
I got over it so fast or so long ago. I don't remember it, but yeah, especially something with fake blood on it. Right. Come on.
Right.
And then there was Christmas. My very first Christmas as a mom, we had a tiny little tree and I did it with gold bows and gold balls that coordinated. They were like slightly different shades of gold and like, pink balls too, pink and gold, and then white lights. And that was it. That was the whole tree.
It was so intentional,
so tasteful. Last year, there were so many kid made ornaments with that kid's school picture from that year on it. And then like some macaroni glued on it or whatever. There were so many that I started to think, they don't even fit on the tree anymore. Maybe I need a second tree. Do I just start giving them to the kids and telling them to put them up in their own rooms? Like, it was so ridiculous. So there you go. This is like a tale of two Halloweens, a tale of two Christmases. And I am not like the most visually creative person, but I love decorating.
Yeah.
And so there was a part of me that just had to like let go of what I wanted things to look like and what they wound up looking like. And I know there's a million memes and funny videos. And I think like there was a commercial last year that was making the rounds that I thought was very clever and was a mom like redecorating the tree when her kids leave the room. So I'll have to see if I can find that one. But it's the struggle is real. I did get to kind of lean in. I kind of allowed it to become fun, I guess.
Well, so I feel like I have so much to say about this and I am right in the middle of it. But as you're talking, I want moms to know that it's always okay to continue to reserve a special thing that is just for you that you don't let the kids mess up. So I don't want anybody coming away from this episode thinking we're saying, well, you just give up and let the kids take over for a few years. I think what's tricky is, and where I have even been pleasantly surprised, is figuring out which things I really do care about, which hills I'm going to die on, as we like to say, which things truly bring me joy, and which things are just new. And I'm feeling that push-pull tension of kids wanting, having their own opinions. And at first it feels uncomfortable and I don't like it. But then if you do let go and lean in, it can actually build on itself as its own kind of joy and tradition. And so I think that is therein lies the tricky part, is knowing which things to truly reserve for yourself and then knowing which things like to let change and really look for the sweetness in the change. So I'll give a couple of examples. We'll stick with Halloween since that's next week. The spider webs you mentioned and the kids wanting to do the decorating themselves is the hardest thing for me as a mom. It was a little bit hard for me to let go of like just a few pumpkins on the porch or more like harvest themed, and like you said, tasteful and simple, and get into things like skeletons and ghosts and things like that. But I eventually was okay with that. But then it's like they want to place it where they want to place it. And it looks, in my control freak brain, it looks so bad. I'm like, that does not look good. And so that was like the biggest challenge for me. But here's the thing. Violet is coming up on 10. So I no longer have 5 and 6 year olds. And now my kids are really darn creative. So last weekend, we finally got out the outside Halloween stuff and I bought a couple more things. And Luke made an entire scene in the front yard with a skeleton in a pretend swimming pool. He was hauling dirt. He made like a dirt pool with a lawn chair, a skeleton wearing sunglasses. It's like an entire tableau. Now, Megan, this is not the front yard that I want. Let's be clear. This is not, however.
But it's the one that you got.
But it's the one that I got, but it actually was executed well. So it's like there's the motif I don't love, like the campy, weird plastic skeletons. But then there's the type A in me that wants it at least to look clean and organized and like well thought out. And it does. So that's my point, is that eventually the kids have taken over, but they're now doing actually a really delightful job. And I would say the same thing about like when they want to wrap their own presents and put them under the tree, when they want to help decorate the tree. So like there is within this bell curve, there's a wonderful thing that happens when you do let go, where like they actually get good. And pretty soon their gingerbread house, they aren't having a screaming fit because they want to do it themselves, but it keeps falling down. In a couple years, they want to do it themselves, but they actually can. So there's like, there's this own sort of like unfolding that happens that I am now seeing as really sweet, because we now have traditions and things that are not what I would choose. They're still not what I would choose. When we get to the later part of the bell curve, there's not going to be skeletons in my front yard, but it's really cool in and of itself.
Well, and I think this is like, this is the point of parenthood, right? Like this is the whole goal. We let them come in and mess up our lives when they're little and demand and like, you know, just learn and be messy. And then the idea is they contribute, like they start to legitimately contribute to everything going on, and they get good at it. They get to where they want. They have their own, especially if they've been allowed, I think, to experiment and have some freedom and not feel like they're in a little box. I feel like then they're like, oh yeah, this would be really fun. I'm going to go out in the yard and make a tableau, and that's going to be great. I was also going to say, I wrote on our Instagram account a couple of weeks ago now about my experience where, and we'll talk about the bell curve and how things are getting different. But nobody has asked me to go like Halloween costume shopping with me for years.
Right.
And then when Clara was like, oh, let's go get some Halloween stuff, I was really excited. But it turns out her taste has turned out more like my taste used to be. Like nobody wants the tacky stuff anymore. And there's a little part of me that's like, ah. So it changes fast. It changes fast.
Yeah.
Sarah, I do have a question for you. You mentioned reserving space just for yourself. Which has been a strategy of mine, not as much at Halloween. I guess maybe at Halloween, I take that back. I always have my gourds and my little multicolored pumpkins and things like that, that are mine. But Christmas, I think we both do this. What, like logistically or practically, I suppose, how do you work that out in your house? Is it like a table? Is it display the mantle? Like what's yours?
So the mantle's definitely mine. I'm really happy with mine this year. It looks really pretty. Although a certain 14-year-old did sneak a little ghost onto my pumpkins only mantle. Mm-hmm. But the mantle's mine. One thing I do, Violet loves to decorate so much. And she is like, she probably will always. And she's young enough that she's still in that phase where I don't think it looks good, but she does. So what I would typically do is get everything out and let her for a couple days, let her just tinker and play and put, you know, line pumpkins up along the table that's underneath our TV and do little things. And then like just little by little while she's at school, I'll reclaim the space more generally, or I will also let her take stuff to her room. So we've done that the last couple of years with Christmas decorations. It's the stuff that I'm ready to get rid of. But instead of getting rid of it, I say, oh, you can do whatever you want with this in your room. So it's a little bit of like, I would say a sliding scale. The thing that's really mine is the mantle, and the sort of formal living room is sort of mostly mine. The top of the piano, there's a few other surfaces that I'm going to style my way. But then there's always like this sort of messy few days where the decorations have been unearthed from the garage, but they're sort of like anybody's. So I, you know, Violet, it's like gives her a chance to like work out that creative play. And she usually doesn't mind too much if I end up redoing, you know, something that she's arranged. So she's really the one that I still have that tension with.
Yeah. I've got a little table at Christmas time. And it's funny because the piece of furniture that was my like mom's Christmas table has actually, I don't actually own that piece of furniture anymore, but now I just chose like a different flat surface. Yeah. And it's like the little collection of things I have that I really want to just be laid out a certain way. Uh-huh. And I don't want anyone messing with it. Every year that's mine. And for the most part, people leave it alone because there's enough places for them to get creative with their own stuff.
Can I bring up, so we've talked a lot about decor and stuff. I want to bring up a couple of other places in the mid bell curve that I guess feel challenging for me, and maybe you can just validate or it'll help somebody else. So one is about kids having plans and making plans. And this is now, I'm going to say, probably gets to its height with older elementary through tweens and young teenagers who can't drive. With Halloween specifically, like my older two kids have like Halloween parties they're invited to. I mean, age appropriate, like pumpkin carving parties, but still they're at night. So like I'm now faced with, I want my kids to be having their own social fun, but where we live and how spread out people are, that is a lot of driving. So I'm realizing that this stage is no longer like, okay, we're going to the pumpkin patch as a family of five, but it's more like who's invited to what. And it's everyone's all over town on different nights. And I'm sure that the Christmas holidays will be the same. We're coming out of a couple COVID years. So I feel like this holiday season might be even more social and even more so-and-so wants to go to the choir concert. And there's like a, right. You know, so that is, it's not, I'm not, this is not complaining. It's just a shift in how I think about like holiday fun. It's no longer the five of us and it's definitely no longer what I choose. In fact, I think I'm in the taxi driving years. So that's yeah. One. And the other, I can't go a Halloween without mentioning the boo tradition that has come around the last decade or so, where you are anonymously booed on your front porch and there is like a bucket of treats and sweets and little games. And then you're supposed to, it's like a chain letter. You're supposed to
boo other people,
boo it forward. And this is probably not worth a long discussion, but I will just remind people that you still get to choose what's fun for you. And there are ways to kindly and respectfully opt out of even traditions that feel like there are a lot of pressure to continue. And I have had years where I did not pay the boo forward. And I have had years where I did. And I've had years where I delegated it to my spouse. But if you are someone who feels pressure to, I don't know, continue the thing, like the world's not going to fall apart if you are a recipient of a boo basket. I don't even know what you call them, like a boo.
Yeah, a boo drop. I don't even know. Yeah.
If you are the recipient and you are not in a place in your life to go assemble a boo basket and pay it forward, I just give you permission to let yourself off the hook about that. It's not to, I don't know, brag on anyone who's into booing. It's just to like make room for us all.
So it's funny. Okay, I have two. I'll address both of those topics because up until this year, I lived, my kids and I, through most of the time I had, well, all the time I had five, but most of the time I had like a bunch of school-aged kids. We lived in a town where everything was within at most a 5-minute drive, but mm-hmm. usually an easy bike ride for one of said kids.
Yeah.
So like all of the rush you're talking about and the additional activities and things like that, I was a little shielded from. Like all I had to do was make sure that they had the $5 in their pocket or whatever, the gift if needed. And even as the kids got older, sometimes I would just send them to the store to get their own stuff. Like that's small town life. And it really worked out. This year I can really see like Clara's already making big trick or treat plans and it's going to involve a lot of me waiting around, I think, and getting her to various different places. And that's just kind of life now that we're 10 minutes out of town.
Yeah.
You know, maybe more like 12 minutes out of town, which is still not a lot. And I know even, I mean, it's kind of funny because I am like an entire village further away than I used to be. And I'm still probably less of a drive than you are to some other people in your area because it's just a bigger metro area and you can be in the same zip code even, but have it be pretty far apart. So that's something I haven't dealt with yet. But this could be the year. And the booing thing, we had 2 years where booing like half-heartedly started in the neighborhoods that we were in and then fizzled both years. And I actually remember 1 year being kind of disappointed because I was hoping to get booed because I was like in the right mindset for it. I was like, hey, I got time on my hands. I got some creative energy. I've got some extra craft supplies laying around. Boo me. And no one did. Boo me, people. And then 1 year I got booed and it was just like the worst possible timing. Yeah. And I feel like we just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like maybe we just like there's no way to let the person know I'm not going to do it. Right. Because it's anonymous. I couldn't go back to be like, dear booer.
No, it's anonymous.
Thank you and then so you're much supposed for your to efforts.
Like if you get booed, then usually you're supposed to then boo two people. So it kind of like spider web.
No one will ever know if you don't boo. And then 1 year I did very half-hearted booing. And I think I can't say for sure, But I feel like we bought slice and bake cookies and I had the kids decorate them and the kids pick out a house to boo. And that was it. Like it was like the most low level booing. So it's like, you know, you can either do it. You can skip it or you can just kind of half-heartedly do it and make your kids do all the work.
I mean, I'm just going to go on record and confess that in my most grinchy Halloween seasons, to mix holiday metaphors there, I would see a boo basket on my front porch because I lived in a very boo happy neighborhood. And I would be like, gosh, I don't want the pressure. I don't want my kids getting into all this stuff. And I don't want the pressure to turn it around. And I had a very close-knit neighborhood where I felt like I had to. And then hearing you talk about some years, you're just more up for the booing. Some years you're like, come on, boo me. And other years you're not. And that like, moms who are on the newer side to this, there are many holiday seasons ahead. So leave room for yourself to have a non-booing year and leave room for other people to go crazy with the booing. And there's a place for us all. So that's what I have to say about that.
You could just take the boo basket off your porch and go put it on someone else's.
Seriously.
Yes.
Seriously.
You've just like, hey, you didn't take it. You didn't take it without reciprocating.
Yeah.
You just passed it along to a more deserving candidate.
Exactly.
Or a more interested candidate or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Those must have been the years too when my kids just fought about everything. Every like, oh, great. The boo basket came with two plastic spider rings. We have three kids. It was like I didn't have bandwidth for any more. You know how I feel about like plastic party favor goodie bags. It was that kind of stuff where it was like, great. Thanks for, I don't know, starting 27 fights.
I think because I always lived in older neighborhoods that weren't like that subdivision feeling. And a lot of times neighbors didn't know each other that well because it was very mixed age. There wasn't like a ton of young families on any given block. And sometimes the houses can be laid out in such a way that like one house is taking up like half the block facing one street. And then the two on the other side are on the corners facing the other streets. So you don't even see your neighbor. Like it's just different. And I think I was wanting more. I want to know my neighbors. I want to have this relationship with them. And then no one booed me and I felt like a boo loser.
There's no winning. There's no winning. Well, we have to eventually move on to you telling us about the later part of the bell curve. But I guess since this is, we will have many more holiday themed episodes this season. We have so many in the archives. And I think the thing we always come back to is you, first of all, you get to decide, you and your co-parent, your spouse, your family, what fun you partake of, even in the school years, school age years, where your kids are telling you that everyone at school has an elf and everyone is booing and everyone's going to this Halloween thing. You still get to decide, and you will probably have to let go of some of your high-minded ideals from when they were tiny, because that's part of the journey. And I think what we always add to that, Megan, is things shift and change over time, right? So what you decide this year is not what you're declaring is your family's tradition forevermore. And sometimes I think we think it has to be. So that's always the drum that we're beating. And now feels like a good time to just, if maybe it's the first time you're hearing us beat that drum.
Well, right. And I want to say too, you know, I saw some discussion about the elf going on in our Facebook group not too long ago. I think we did like a whole episode about the elf at one point.
It's been so long.
It's been a long
time.
But I guess I would just say that there is sort of a feeling that if you start something, you can't go back. And I understand that feeling because your kids will be disappointed. But ultimately, A, you're still the decider. And B, kids can be kind of gullible about stuff sometimes. So like I am not above, or at least when they were younger, telling kids something like, oh, that only happens every 3 years. And like saying it with such conviction, like the whole thing is kind of baloney anyway, right? Like there's not, I don't want to give anything away about what may or may not be happening at night while everyone's asleep.
Sure.
In your house, but it might not
magic
be what
happens, but
magic happens. And who's doing the magic? I don't know. I think you get to set some rules around that. If the magic's being created, the creator of the magic gets to decide the parameters of said magic.
Correct.
I guess I don't really have anything else to say about that, except it doesn't have to be that if you did something once and didn't love it, you're stuck forever.
Correct. And there is no one right way. So there's room for people to be as excited about booing and elfing as I am unexcited about it. And I truly mean that without any irony at all. Like there's room for it all.
All right, Sarah. Well, we're wrapping up by talking about what it looks like when we are returned to that place of having control, or, but it's very different. Yeah. Like, it's one thing to be coming into new motherhood and creating the holiday you want to create for your fresh little baby children.
Cherubs.
And it's little
pumpkins.
Cherubs. And it's before you have all the experience of like the downward slide, the disappointments, the happy surprises, the letting go, like none of that's happened yet. Yeah. So at the beginning, it's just like, it's like you're doing it, but maybe you're doing it almost like a little frantically or robotically. Sure. Like, I am going to be the best holiday mom. And it's like, do, 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 do. Okay. Then you go through life and life happens. And then you get to the other side and it's like, oh, okay. So now here I am, at least a middle-aged, like in my mid-40s woman with kids for whom holidays are still a reality, but just not the way they used to be. And so I can reclaim what I want. I can do things differently now. I can keep what I want. If I want to keep that hot mess of a tree forever because it just makes me feel good and nostalgic about my kids, I can do that. There have been years in the last several years, like I'm going to say the last 4 or 5 years, where no one seems to care much about certain aspects of the holiday. And I just sort of wait for someone to ask me if it's going to happen. And if nobody does and I don't care, I don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like you don't have to just keep up the list of every single thing you always did, because sometimes no one else is paying close attention anyway. And that's not to say, like, in my house, it would not feel good, because I do put a high value on the cozy feeling of, like, you know, nurturing the home and keeping those routines and traditions kind of going. It wouldn't feel good to just like turn the lights off one year and be like, well, kids, we're not doing any of it. Sorry.
You didn't ask. So there's no Christmas
October
coming.
Through December is canceled because no one gave me their list. Like, that's never going to happen in my house. Not that I'm saying, you know, that'd be wrong for anybody else. It just won't happen in my house. But there have definitely been things where I was like, did anyone ever care about this anyway? What if I just didn't bake cookies this year? Yeah. Or what if I just didn't decorate the windows this year? Whatever that thing is. And sometimes nobody does care. It's kind of like, as long as the general festive big rocks are in place, like I've got the right music on or whatever the thing is in my house, they don't always notice all the details.
Well, so, I have a quick question about teenagers, because I'm newer to teenagers than you. And I know, like, obviously we're not suggesting this last part of the bell curve is when all of your kids are completely gone. It's just more that, like, you have the time and headspace and bandwidth and fewer people demanding that you do gingerbread houses on this one day or whatever. But my question about teenagers, my 14-year-old is weirdly nostalgic about some things. And my guess is that as they move through high school, that even the teenagers might surprise you with the things that are seemingly little kiddish, but that they want to do. Is it normal for teenagers to like be sort of ironically nostalgic for little kid things? Because I feel like I'm having a second appreciation for some of the little kid things that we did, because sometimes my teenager is like, oh, we should get out that book or we should cook this. Yeah,
for sure. I've noticed that. I've also, a few times, or more than a few times, I'm sure, like, invited that kid to be the caretaker of that activity. Like, that's part of what teenagering is. And that's part of the reason I think they have that nostalgia, is they know they're getting older.
Yeah.
They're losing some of that magic maybe. And some parts are falling away that they can't ever get back. Yeah. Like, we'll never get back that feeling of being a 7-year-old waking up on Christmas morning. Right. You just won't. Right. Yeah. So, or even a 7-year-old wandering or a 6-year-old wandering out onto the street for trick or treating. We can't recapture that feeling. We're all trying in some way throughout our lives. But really, when they're teenagers is when you can start to kind of pass the torch, because now they're going to become adults and they're going to want to take whatever aspects of those traditions forward into their homes, and not even with their kids, but like their college dorm or their first apartment or their early relationships, whatever. They get to be the keepers of those traditions. And if we don't ever give them the chance to do it, it would be very sad that if they like went off to start their adult lives and just were miserable at the holiday because they don't know how to, you know, embrace it without mom doing it for them.
Yeah.
So I think it's all very normal. I don't necessarily think it means we have to do everything they want just because they're nostalgic about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. So how are you, like, this holiday season? Is there anything you're specifically looking forward to, or that the last couple of years you've found yourself reclaiming?
I feel like the last several years have been a bit of a hodgepodge. Like, 1 year I decided I was going to go and see a lot of live performance. I remember having this like almost like a resolution. Like, this year I'm going to go see a choir concert, an orchestra concert, a ballet, like a Christmas play.
Yeah, that must have been before COVID.
That was 2019. Yeah. Did it all. Thankfully, I managed to fit everything in that year. And that was great. It was like all the things that felt like a huge hassle to do all of it. At least I was often doing some of it, but like the things that I could never fit all of that in when I had a bunch of little kids, I managed to fit it all in 2019. And then the pandemic happened. And of course that didn't happen for a couple of years. And we really hunkered down and things went much more traditional for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I think I overspent, frankly, on gifts 2 years in a row. I think 2020 and 2021, I overspent on both of those holidays because I don't know, like, I felt like we were all trying to make it up.
Yeah, I agree.
We were trying to make it up to everybody for everything. And I know that there was some crazy Halloween decor that was like a thing last year, I feel like. Yeah. And maybe like where people were just going, like pulling out all the stops to make their homes homey and their traditions like tradition-y and their families feel good. And now what? We're coming out the other side and I don't know, like Halloween is going to be kind of the same this year. I wouldn't say it's been wildly different and it probably, you know, I don't think trick or treating will be wildly different. I'm down to one kid, who cares? And that's starting to fade away. But like, I feel like Christmas this year, it'll unveil itself over the next couple of months. I might do something crazy this year. Like I might throw a big party or I might completely change up the way we do our holiday, like opening gifts. Maybe we'll take a trip. Like there's lots of potential things on the table that I feel like have not been on the table before.
And part of that's because the kids are not so attached to exactly what you do. And the traditions are sort of baked into the fiber, which gives you that more flexibility.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I live 90 seconds from my significant other. And I don't know that I want to spend Christmas morning with my ex-husband this year. Just frankly, I've done that now 6 times.
And a change coming.
I think there's a change coming and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm so glad we were able to do that for the kids for so long. Not just Christmas morning, Christmas Eve too. Like we had a get together Christmas Eve and Christmas morning since getting divorced every single year. Yeah. We did all of Christmas all together.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just time for that to not be the case anymore. So,
Well, I was just going to talk about crafting and baking briefly because, and specialty coffee. So 3 quick things that I feel like I'm in the midst of reclaiming. I'm not a huge crafter and you are more crafty than I am. But part of the reason I don't identify as a huge crafter is I don't want to craft with children and I don't want to craft with children's supplies and I don't really want anything to do with that. I actually really do like to sew and I like to bake and I like to decorate. So I think that's been a really cool part of kids being more independent or having their own thing is thinking about more adult like handiworks that come along with the holiday season. The last couple of years I have done a citrus garland with our abundant backyard citrus. So you can bake or otherwise dry out slices of orange and make a garland. And they look pretty, really. I think I have had them up even at Thanksgiving and then all the way through the new year because they last forever. So that is really fun. And I'm always on the lookout for something like that that I can do just myself.
Well, actually, Sarah, I'm really glad you brought that up because it reminds me of 2 things that I forgot to mention. One is that I have spent the last couple of Christmases embroidering gifts.
You have.
And that is not something I ever would have been able to do when my hands were full with little ones. Like just even when they were little enough to still be wanting to snuggle up next to me on the couch and put their head on my arm a lot, you know, even that level of you can't do that when you've got a needle in your hand and you're new and not very good at it. And so it's like the last couple of years I've spent a lot of time over at Eric's house on his couch, stitching, knitting or not knitting. Stitching and embroidering. So doing needlework. That's the word I was looking for. So there's that. There's like those solo activities are great. But I also, to your point about not liking to do crafts with kids, I mean, I feel like it's a special kind of person who actually wants to do crafts with kids. Like the rest of us just kind of do it because we know there's a reason.
Yeah.
There's some benefit. But Clara is now almost 14, or she's 13 and a half, and she's artistic and creative and skilled. And I actually would like to find some way this year for the two of us to do a real project together, like something where she'll probably be better at it than me, like something yeah. like that.
Yeah.
And I think that could be really, really fun. And that would definitely be very different from holiday crafts of the past, where it's me supervising
yeah.
glue spreading and glitter explosions.
This is totally different, but it reminded me last year, Reed and I played a piano duet that we actually like had to practice all season, and there was no performance, but I jumped in on his Zoom lessons long enough each time that we learned like an intermediate level Angels We Have Heard on High and like played it for the family. So as kids get older, you may find things you can do together in a and by the way, Reed is a much better note reader now and piano player than I am. So same thing. Like I was the one being like, now hang on, let me get the left hand here. Slow down. But yeah. That was really, really fun. The thing I said about specialty coffee was just that I don't know why this seems to relate to kids getting older, but I think it's just that I have room in my brain to think about what do I want? What's something special just for me? So my family got COVID a few weeks ago. Now it was like late September, early October. It was right when all the fall stuff started to come out, fall and Halloween at Trader Joe's and at the CVS. And I'd never got COVID, but I ran out for errands a few times, masked up to like pick stuff up for the family. And I just found myself buying the most over the top, ridiculous, like basic fall stuff. Like I bought a really cute owl mug. At Trader Joe's, I bought their pumpkin creamer and their maple creamer, two different like seasonal coffee creamers. And I just kind of went all in on, I don't know, like the basic fall trappings that I might have otherwise yep. rolled my eyes at a bit. And that has felt really good. I have enjoyed my super corny owl mug from CVS every afternoon. I am enjoying my pumpkin creamer. Violet actually had it in her warm milk last night. So that's a little tip too, that it in itself is not coffee. It's just a creamer. So
yeah, and it's fun to think of like things like that, that you can enjoy on your own, or you can really get into with the kids if yeah. you want. I hope to see both of you wrapped up in a blanket sweater or blanket scarf, yes. blanket scarf. Yes. Together enjoying pumpkin flavored things soon. Yes. Please take that photo.
I will. And post it. Okay, well, this was really fun. I do feel like we rode that bell curve together, and you are more on the other side of it. I am still very much going to be spending my Halloween week driving kids around and, I don't know, having plastic skeletons in my yard. But I love that we had this conversation. It makes me appreciate all of the different phases. So this was great.
Well, our next newsletter is coming out tomorrow, Sarah. And this is something I need to check out because we've got a list of advent calendars. To pop in your cart now. So, you know, before they run out, which they will. But that reminds me that the other day, speaking of kids and their nostalgia, Clara just made this offhand comment and said, I better have an epic advent calendar this year. And she just kind of worked it into conversation and then kept
like
going.
A true eighth grader.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I wasn't actually planning anything epic. So I guess I better get on it. Or maybe she has to make one. I don't know. I haven't decided where I land, but I'll look at that list of event calendars and I'll decide.
I love that so much. Yeah, Sandy wrote that post for our blog and it'll go out in the newsletter. Along with, if you didn't catch the news on Instagram, we have a new subscriber community that's built right into Instagram. So it's a place where like listeners and fans of the show can have a little bit of bonus content and a little more, I guess, like, I don't know, intimate conversation with other listeners and with us, Megan. It's a relatively new technology built into Instagram, and full disclosure, we are learning it and playing around with it right alongside everybody. And if you already love Instagram, I would say this is a great way to just hang out with us a little bit more over there. So we'll link to that and that'll be in the newsletter as well. And then we have a More Than Mom coming up this coming Sunday. It actually airs on my husband's birthday, which is what prompted me to think we should do something related to our significant others. So we're going to be talking about our partners and their personalities and our personalities. And it's going to be a fun one. So stick around for that. Come back Sunday and we will talk to you then.
Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram at The Mom Hour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon.